When we came to Jesus Christ, we weren't trying on a new wardrobe. We were giving him our life. We gave it all to him.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The essence of Christian service is the substance of Paul's message in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 to 7. We've seen several things in this distillation of Paul's principles of Christian service. We saw the qualification of a servant in verse 1. He must be a son and he must be strong. We saw the occupation of a servant in verse 2, the preservation and the transmission of truth to others also. And then we've been seeing the illustration of a servant in verses 3 to 7. And Paul has been teaching us that a Christian servant is like a soldier, verses 3 and 4, by which he meant to teach us that he's willing to suffer, endure hardness, he's willing to separate. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this bios, this biological life. He invests himself instead in spiritual life. And he is willing to serve, that he may please him who hath called him to be a soldier. And then we have seen as well that not only is a Christian servant like a soldier, that's one metaphor which illustrates the phenomenon, but he's also like an athlete, by which he meant to teach us that there is in Christian service an element of rigor. He must strive. If a man also strive for the masteries or compete in the games, he meant to teach us that there is rigor, strictness of life, severity of life, often attached to the phenomenon of Christian service. He meant also to teach us that there is regulation. If we are to strive appropriately, then we must strive lawfully. If we do not, we will forfeit the crown. Not only is there to be rigor, but there is also to be regulation. And then the Bible says, beyond that, that if we strive lawfully, rigorously, and according to the regulations, there will also be reward. The Scripture says, if we do not, we will not be crowned, but if we do, we shall be crowned. There is a place for reward in the Christian experience, and our Lord is very specific on that subject. Now we come to this last metaphor, and I hope to occupy our attention with that for a few moments and then close out with some closing thoughts on the theme of Christian service. Paul says in verse 6, the husbandman, or literally the farmer that laboreth, must be first partaker of the fruits. He says quite literally, the farmer must work hard before partaking of the fruits. That would be a literal rendering of the Greek New Testament. The farmer must work hard before partaking of the fruits. And I would suggest that five words describe Paul's emphasis in this metaphor of Christian service. Maybe I can share them with you briefly. By giving to us this metaphor of Christian service, I believe that Paul has at least five basic ideas in his mind. They're not earth-shaking, but they're relevant. They relate to us in our day and age. There's something from which we can learn. There's something from which we can be motivated to be the kinds of servants that God intended for us to be. There would be five words that would describe Paul's emphasis in the use of this metaphor as he unfolds for us more precisely what it means to be a servant of God. They're the kinds of things we can take home with us and apply in our Christian experience. I think Paul means, first of all, to teach us that the farmer works strenuously. Then he means, secondly, to teach us that the farmer works patiently. And then he thirdly means to teach us that the farmer works constantly. And then fourthly, he means to teach us that the farmer works in obscurity. And then he means finally to teach us that the farmer works triumphantly. He does partake of the fruits. There is a goal. First, he means to teach us that the farmer works strenuously, and that's the very meaning of the word laboreth. The husbandman, the farmer that laboreth, it implies strenuous labor. Kapos is the Greek word, K-O-P-O-S, kapos. And it's used in the New Testament almost as a technical term for the Christian life. There was always attached to the concept of Christian living in the New Testament, having become a Christian, this element of labor, of strenuous involvement. Kapos is a word that describes in the Greek New Testament toil to the point of sheer exhaustion. It's the meaning of the word. That's how it's used. It is a word that was used in ancient literature of toil to the point of sheer exhaustion, the kind of toil which takes everything of body, mind, and spirit that a man has to give. That's how the word was used. There are other words for labor, other words for work, and other words for toil. But this is that special word which describes toil to the point of sheer exhaustion, the kind of toil which takes everything of body, mind, and spirit that a man has to give. Paul claimed to have rendered that kind of service. He says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, I labored, I kapost, same Greek word. I labored to the point of sheer exhaustion more abundantly than they all. And then he tells us how he did it. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 10. God gave to me the energy. God gave to me the dynamic. God gave to me the power that I needed to render this kind of service for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think Paul means to teach us that the Christian way, the way you embraced when you embraced Christ, when you invited Christ into your life, that you embraced the Christian way and all the implications of it. And I think Paul means to teach us that the Christian way is not for the man who fears to break sweat. I think Paul means to teach us that the Christian is to be a toiler for Jesus Christ. And even if he cannot render physical toil, he can still toil in prayer. There is a spiritual toil in which he can engage. We're to be like a husbandman, like a farmer. The farmer works strenuously. I wonder if we can say that we're that kind of a servant, that we are so loyal to Jesus Christ. We are so committed to his principles. We are so committed to the lordship of Christ and to the authority of the Scripture over our lives that we are willing to spend and be spent, to burn out strenuously, involve ourselves in Christian service. We're so jealous of our own time. Constantly protecting our own interests, building walls of protection around the things that are important to us. God is saying, I want you to understand what is important to me. I want you to understand my system of values. I want you to embrace them. I want you to take this precious commodity of life, which is more precious than any other commodity you possess. I want you to take your life, your vitality. I want you to take your energy, your dynamic, your creativity, your mind. I want you to take all that you are, all of the potential that I've placed within you, and I want you to invest it strenuously, unreservedly. I want you to be willing to spend and be spent for my glory. That's what it means to be a servant of God. It means to be a husbandman, a farmer, the man who works strenuously. I think it's something we need to underline in our day and age. The notion of hard work attached to Christian service is a very unpopular concept. In our day and age, we have a very happy-go-lucky spirit among many modern Christians today. There is a, in a non-technical sense, there is a yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay galloping all the way variety of Christianity. Sort of a circus mentality. We want to have fun. We want to be entertained. We like to be spectators. We'd rather sit back and enjoy. It was never so with the New Testament Christians. It was never so with the Apostle Paul. He said, it ought never to be so of you Christians. You're to be like a husbandman, a farmer. The farmer works strenuously. And then the farmer works patiently. This is hard to do, isn't it? My, how I long for instant success. I've always wanted it, wherever I've been, instant success. This is a push-button society. I like instant everything. And I'm always asking God for patience right now. The farmer works patiently. More than any other workman, the farmer must learn that there are no such things as quick results. And that's what the Bible says. James says in the New Testament, behold the farmer, the husbandman, same word, it means farmer. Behold the farmer waiteth. It's hard to do that. The farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and he hath long patience for it. Macrothumia. He doesn't have micro patience, he has macro patience. Macrothumia. His patience does not fit into a microcosm, it fits into a macrocosm. He has long, macrothumia, he has long patience for it. And then James says, be also patient. Same Greek word, macrothumia. James 5, verses 7 and 8. And so the scripture would teach us that we too must learn to work and then to wait. We must sow the good seed of the word loyally, faithfully, regularly, strenuously, and patiently. We must sow the good seed of the word into the hearts and minds of our hearers, and then we must brood over that seed in prayer and be willing to wait for God to incubate and do his work and bring forth that fruit. The farmer has long patience. He invests his life. We're not just investing a few years or a decade. When we came to Jesus Christ, we weren't trying on a new wardrobe. We were giving him our life. We gave it all to him. From the cradle to the grave, it belongs to Christ. We give it all to him. And as we do, as we sow that seed and brood over it in prayer, as we do that, we're reminded, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not, Galatians 6 in verse 9. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. There is a sense in which it can be said that the harvest is not really at the end of the meeting. The harvest is at the end of the age, and then shall every man's fruit be inspected. And then shall God mete out his rewards. And God keeps very good records. The farmer labors strenuously. And the farmer labors patiently. And then the farmer labors constantly. I think that's a third thing Paul wants us to know. There's one special thing that characterizes the farmer, and that is that he must be prepared to work at any hour. In the harvest time, a farmer will work so long as the last streak of light remains. He knows no hours. Neither must the Christian. The trouble with so much of modern Christianity is that it is so spasmodic. It is intermittent. It lacks continuity. It is on again and off again. And too infrequently are we on, and too frequently are we off. It's on again and off again. But it should not be so with a dedicated, committed servant of God. From the dawn to the dusk, we know no hours. From the dawn to the dusk, the Christian must be forever, at every moment, about his task of being a Christian and doing God's will and sowing God's seed, serving God in whatever capacity God has called him to serve him. Now there's a fourth thing. The farmer works in obscurity. This is hard for some of us. The farmer works in obscurity. How many famous farmers do you know? How many farmers ascend to the level of national notoriety? Most of us do not know the name of the Secretary of Agriculture in this country. Unlike the soldier, we've seen that metaphor of Christian service. Unlike the soldier, unlike the athlete, the farmer's life is often totally devoid of excitement. It is frequently remote from all glamour of peril, such as the soldier faces, and applause, such as the athlete receives. It is remote from all glamour of peril and applause. And so Paul is saying something to us when he says, I want you to be like a farmer. Are you willing to work in relative obscurity? Paul means that the Christian servant is a man, is a woman, who is willing and content, not only willing, but content. He is willing and content to work out from under the eyes of men and only in the eyes of God. He is willing and content to work in a state of relative obscurity and in a spirit of humility for the glory of God and for the benefit of others and not for himself. That's what it means to work like a farmer in obscurity.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
There's a special word in the New Testament that Jesus used when he summoned men to follow him. And that same word is used to describe them as they began to follow Christ.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.